trouble with our kids is never a walk in the park. And when things start getting out of control, our kids can start losing respect for us. That's when the snowball of conflict and chaos get exponentially larger with each passing day. And after pastoral counseling and even therapy sessions have fallen flat, many parents look toward long-term residential care. Knowing how, when, and where to get outside help for our kids, that's our subject today on Licensed to Parent. Welcome once again to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential Christ-centered program helping teens in crisis and their families. We mention this being the radio outreach because our goal here is to take what we learn inside the gates of Shepherd's Hill outside the gates to equip you as a parent to be the parent God wants you to be and to avoid needing help from a residential facility. And Trace, you know, we often talk about the success stories of Shepherd's Hill, and we will continue to do so. But we did want to point out on today's program, Shepherd's Hill Academy is not the only place in the country to get help for troubled teens.
Well, not by a long shot, Rich. You know, and if the church would see the desperate need that exists for residential care in America today and then see it as a home mission endeavor, it's possible there would be a Shepherd's Hill or a Shelterwood or a Carolina Boys Academy in every county and every state in America. And again, the need is that great.
Well, the need is great, and that's why today we're actually going to introduce you to two other residential programs that share our mission. One, as Trace just mentioned, is North Carolina Boys Academy in Conover, North Carolina. And the other is Shelterwood Academy in Independence, Missouri. We're going to begin, though, on the East Coast, with the North Carolina side of things, North Carolina Boys Academy. We're joined in the studio today by its executive director, John Steigerwald.
Well, John, it is a pleasure and it's a treat to have you here in the studio with us. God bless you, man.
Yeah, Trace, well, thank you for having me here. We go back quite a few years.
Yes, and
it's so it's just wonderful to be here with you and see all that's going on here in your campus.
Well, John, you've been with Teen Challenge for many years now. I know you started the first Teen Challenge in Jamaica, actually, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about your organization, how you got involved, and how you ended up at Carolina Boys Academy?
Well, that's a long story, Trace, but I'll say this. You know, Teen Challenge goes back to 1958. We all know the story with mm-hmm. the cross and the switchblade
sure.
and David Wilkerson going into New York City and working with kids at risk. But when I moved here to Toccoa years ago, we got involved with Teen Challenge, myself and David Ledgerwood, if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning of it. And I moved from Toccoa to Kingston, Jamaica, and that's where we started the Teen Challenge there. It was an adult program. And so I've been involved with Teen Challenge since 1997.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've all but lost the Jamaican accent.
Yeah, I'm on everything all right. I mean, yeah, the accent's no longer there, but certainly.
What got you interested in residential care? How did you go from being a pastor? Because you were actually my pastor.
Yes, that's right.
Back in the day.
Yeah, we were here since 1990 to 97, started mm-hmm. the church here in Toccoa, Georgia. But,
yeah.
You know, Trace, I was a graduate of Christ for the Nations, and Christ for the Nations Bible Institute had a satellite program in Jamaica. And after I graduated from the program, I went down there to teach. And mm-hmm. It was while I was there that I was walking through the streets and saw a woman lying in the gutter. And my reference point was Teen Challenge. And so when I went back to the school and asked them if there was a Teen Challenge in the country, they said, "What's Teen Challenge?"
Mm.
And that was kind of the genesis and the seed that God planted in my heart. And
a tap on the shoulder, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, the small, still voice. And then it was about maybe 18 months later, my wife and my four children, we landed in Kingston, Jamaica to start mm-hmm. the ministry.
So you came back to the United States. You were a pastor back in Virginia. What do you think is causing this problem we have with kids today? I mean, was it something you experienced in your church, or do you just look at the news, or you know,
Trace, you know, I mean, with this program here, you know about what's going on culturally within our nation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the family's disintegrating. And so the epicenter of raising kids that are healthy and well are having, you know, families that are structured on a biblical worldview. Unfortunately, there are forces at work that expose our families and our kids to all kinds of things that really deteriorate the local family. And,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, we just really sensed a calling out of Virginia in 2013 to raise up an academy for young men specifically, mm-hmm. because the crisis of young men in our nation, there's a crisis, right. you know, manhood, how do we define manhood? And so we try to help young men to know that manhood is rejecting passivity and accepting responsibility, leading courageously, and expecting the greater reward.
Yeah, and I'm so happy to hear you say that, because we're constantly pounding that drum of there's a problem of manhood in America today.
There is.
I didn't lead you with that question. I mean, this is not something that you had to coax you into. Mm-mm. This is an obvious situation, and you're basically fulfilling a need God's tap mm-hmm. on your shoulder.
I would even add to that, we had as a guest on the program Christopher Doyle a few weeks back, and he was actually addressing the homosexual issue and how to deal with this. But he said, we mistakenly think that homosexuality, for example, is primarily a sexual issue, and it really goes back to men learning how to be men, men relating to men, developing the proper relationships with other men. And so this crisis of manhood in America goes far beyond what, up until that program, I had even considered its long-term effect. We really do affect a generation by raising men
That's
properly.
Right. And men that know how to be fathers, right?
Right. Yeah,
fathering.
Sure. Yeah.
And so you think about just the scriptures in Malachi 4:6, right? What's the day the Lord of fathers will turn their hearts to their children and children mm-hmm. towards their fathers, and such
exactly.
a critical role for dads in our nation today.
Yeah. John, what does North Carolina Boys Academy have to offer parents that would give them hope for their sons?
Sure. Well, North Carolina Boys Academy is a 15-month residential boarding school for young men. And so when mom and dads call us, I mean, they're in crisis, just like mom and dads call you, they're in crisis because mm-hmm. they've lost control of their young man, their mm-hmm. son, and they're looking for a place where they can send him and be confident that they'll be receiving the type of training that's going to develop their character. First and foremost, we offer hope. Mm-hmm. When there's hopelessness.
Sure.
And the second thing we do is we promise a mom and dad a couple things. One, their son's going to be loved. And number two, that we're going to really focus on developing their character, because that's really the epicenter of what the crisis in our nation is, because we don't have men of character.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so critical.
What are some of the crises that the parents are calling about? What are the things that you're finding time and time again with your kids, or is it all different?
Well, yeah, I mean, it covers the spectrum. So we take boys ages 12 to 17, and many of them are either experimenting with drugs or alcohol. Mm-hmm. Some of them are involved with the law. Some of them have really big behavioral issues, just downright rebellion, you know. And sometimes, you know, it's not only the young man that's the focus. Also, you know, it's the family, too. So we provide training for parents. They're required to attend at least 6 workshops within the 15 months that their son is there, to just equip them so this young man is not going back into an environment where there's been no connection and community with them. So we're committed to not only the young man, but also the family.
John, we only have about 30 seconds, if that, to give parents advice on how they can do a better job pointing their own children in the right direction. So what would you tell them in just a few seconds?
There's hope, man.
There's hope.
In the midst of the hardship, you know, we say at Teen Challenge, transformation happens here, but what's the transformation cycle? And the cycle often includes some hardship and pain, but you have a Lord and Savior that's there to help you through the process.
So
there's always hope.
John Steigerwald is the executive director of North Carolina's Boys Academy, located in Conover, North Carolina. You'll also find them online and at your fingertips at ncboysacademy.org. And Trace, we are only halfway through today's program. Next, we're going to travel out to Independence, Missouri, and find out about an academy out there, Shelterwood Academy, when we talk with their CEO, Jim Subers. You're listening to Licensed to Parent, and we'll be right back.
Being a teen in today's culture is tough. Being a parent of a troubled teen can be even tougher. If you feel like pulling your hair out, or worse, your family may be in crisis. Sometimes we make light of our family situations to help us deal with them, but that really doesn't fix the underlying problems. Shepherd's Hill Academy is here to help find the root of the problem, as well as healing and hope. But if residential care is not a fit for you, Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching can provide you with decades of experience from the front lines to help you overcome the challenges your family is facing. And best of all, we meet with you where you are with simple phone calls. Family Coaching is a dynamic partnership that helps you discern God's will and reach goals for your family that are biblical. Basically, live the life your family was designed for, and that's no joke. Information about Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching is available at licensedtoparent.org.
Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org.
Welcome back to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy with our host, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rossell, and we're turning our attention next from the East Coast and North Carolina. We're heading out to Independence, Missouri, or at least we're placing a call to Independence, Missouri, to speak with the CEO of a teen facility called Shelterwood Academy. And we're going to speak now with Jim Suber. Jim, glad to have you with us. Thanks for being a part of Licensed to Parent today.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Hey, Jim, listen, it is an honor to have you here, and I just want to ask you guys out there west of the Mississippi River, I don't imagine that the troubled teen situation is any better on that side of the country as it is over here east of the Mississippi. What do you see as being the greatest threat to the emotional and spiritual health of today's teen population?
Well, you're right. The problem is all across the country. We've got kids here from all over the nation. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, you guys probably saw, as I did, the movie The Perfect Storm a number of years ago. And mm-hmm. in that movie, there was a kind of a convergence of weather-related phenomena that caused this massive storm. And I think that's what this generation is facing. I don't know that there's been a generation in the modern era that's had so much challenge.
Right.
And you can't overstate the influence of the media culture has had on this generation.
Amen.
Of young people. The competing voices for the attention of our kids, our teenagers, has never been louder.
And that's right.
I mean, there's people that you and I would never allow into our homes to spend time with our kids are spending time with them.
That's
and
right.
Through the computer or the internet or the phone. And even if we do a good job of keeping it out of our house, the cell phone that your teenager has, their friend has at school, has all of that
right.
stuff on it.
Yeah.
So, and then there's the values that are promoted on the stuff that we are allowing,
mm-hmm.
right? The on the regular TV shows, you've got, I think I read a study, you guys probably saw it too, UCLA did a number of years ago, that had the kind of listed the primary values that were emphasized in television that was geared towards preteens. And those values had nothing to do with service and care for others and that sort of thing. It was all about fame and success.
Oh, yeah.
and popularity and image. And so our kids have been sold this idea that life is about their fame, their success, their popularity, being known.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, this generation of kids is the loneliest generation in recent history. So I think that the assault on this generation is massive. And
yeah.
and you know, the parents that come to us, used to be when you saw a kid that was really struggling, you'd think, well, they got some trouble at home. That's not the case anymore.
That's right.
Most of the families that we deal with, and that you guys probably deal with as well, is godly, yeah. two-parent homes. They've taken their kids to church. They've done the best they can, and their kids are really, really struggling.
Yeah, brother.
Jim, you bring something interesting to the table. As we mentioned, today's program is focusing on various residential programs for teens in crisis. We spoke with the folks at North Carolina Boys Academy earlier. Obviously, Trace is involved on a daily basis with Shepherd's Hill Academy. You, however, come to Shelterwood with a background of having worked with camp ministries, of having worked in industry, of managing people in a broad scale. Parents could probably benefit from your insight on this one particular question. With a variety of teen facilities out there, residential care facilities, many of which operate with some of the same techniques, but still they differ. How does a parent look at all the options and find the right school or facility that's the right fit for their children?
Boy, that's a great question. When I was asked to join Shelterwood staff 3.5 years ago, I did not have a background in residential care. Like you mentioned, I'd led a number of different businesses and organizations, but residential care was not one of them. So one of the things I did immediately was I told my wife, let's move into the boys' lodge, to the basement of the boys' lodge for a few months, and we'll get a pretty good education really quick. And the other thing was to get on the road and go see a number of residential programs around the country and get a feel for who was doing what. And I went to a few faith-based programs and a few secular programs, and then began the process of trying to build our culture here in a way that we felt like would be most effective in helping the kids and the families that God sent to us. And every program I went to had their own unique strengths and weaknesses, and there's a lot of good ones out there. For us, we are very focused on the faith component. When I was hired, the board of directors here said Jesus needs to be at the focus and the center of everything we do at Shelterwood. Amen. And so that's been a real important part for us. And then they said, but you also need to have clinical excellence. And so we've also worked very, very hard and in terms of the clinical excellence of what we do. And we kind of call it clinical theology. We want to be as good as all the secular programs out there, but we believe we ought to be better because we have Jesus the healer.
Amen. That's how I look at it.
So for us, we're working very hard to honor Jesus by the excellence of how we do what we do, but at the same time recognize that only He is the one that really brings real change.
Okay, so here's what I have to know then. How many different facilities did you check yourself into before deciding on Shelterwood?
Well, actually, Janice and I now have been living for almost 3.5 years in the boys' lodge.
You're still there, okay.
We're still there.
Wow. We have a saying here, we're all here because we're not all there.
You know, I've done a lot of different things, traveled around the world, to 40 different countries in business and in ministry, and I've had a life that I consider really blessed in a lot of ways, but I don't think I've ever enjoyed the work that I'm doing now.
Not
I
great.
Had the opportunity in March of last year on our Haiti mission trip to baptize 13 of our kids.
That's
in
amazing.
The Caribbean.
That's terrific.
And then another 14 in November, and I there's nothing like watching the lights go on for a teenager to recognize they want to love Jesus, they want to follow Him, they want to be His disciple, and want to tell others about it. And I am, as you know, Trace, being in residential care, there's never a dull moment. Every day has got a new challenge. Yeah. In fact, we have today a Parents' Weekend starting today for us. But it's very rewarding to see families reunited, to see kids begin to believe that their life has purpose and meaning, and begin to make good choices. My family has been richly blessed through our time here. My youngest son was living actually with some of our young adult staff as a junior and senior in high school, our first 2 years here. Two of his best friends in the world now are two of the kids that were here at Shelterwood. That are, one's now in college, the other one's in a gap year program and going to college next year. My nephew was here for a year and is doing phenomenal. My niece was here last year, is doing phenomenal. My best friend's son is in the program right now. I had no idea when I said yes to this job that it was going to benefit friends and family.
Well,
and,
yeah, I can tell you that I think I got a ton of friends and family right around me that could all have kids here, and some are trying to get them here. It's like Everyone's got a problem with their kids.
That's right. There's an assault on this generation.
Absolutely is. Jim, residential care is so incredibly expensive. Otherwise, I'd probably have cousins and nieces and nephews and friends in this program already. But here in Georgia, it costs the taxpayer over $91,000 a year just to house a kid in a youth detention center. To put it in perspective, if you hired a babysitter at minimum wage just to track little Poindexter around all day long for a year, you'd have almost a $64,000 a year investment. What do you think the church can do to be making a residential program more possible for the kids that actually need it?
That's a huge issue, and is, I'm sure, you deal with all the time, Trace. I mean, we have 5,000 calls from families a year, and we're only able to help about 100 families a year.
Yeah.
So in terms of actually in our program, and we're having to direct others elsewhere, and it's the cost is massive, and it's a huge problem. We do have lots of stories of the way God provides miraculously for families. One case, a pastor's church came alongside him, and a number of members in the congregation supported the tuition for the daughter to be here. Another situation, grandparents came forward and really helped fund the tuition so that their kids could be at Shelterwood.
I think the real
issue has got to be preventative, because the costs are so high.
Right.
Churches really need to really focus heavily upon their youth ministries at church, and really see that if we want this next generation to not to be snared by the enemy, we have to really invest heavily in strong youth programs where our kids are really engaged in service, not simply in having fun.
Right. Well, you get it.
When a kid is focused on himself, life doesn't work. But when they can learn to get focused outside of themselves, mm-hmm. and giving and serving and have purpose, then all of a sudden things can come together for them.
Yeah, exactly right. I see so many churches who've pressured the youth group to grow. And so it's, you know, 5 minutes of Bible and 55 minutes of pizza and loud music and bells and whistles and fun and games. And, you know, the average youth, new convert to Christianity, stays in church 8 to 11 weeks, and then they're gone. And we haven't realized that. I think we're doing some things in the church that we could be improving on quite a bit. So.
Well, our time is up for this part of today's program. We've been talking with Jim Subers, who is the CEO of Shelterwood Academy in Independence, Missouri. Jim, just from looking at your website, I've not had the privilege of going out there, but it looks like you all have a great organization. And for the families who are blessed to be a part of it, I know they probably couldn't be more grateful for the work that you're doing out there. And as fellow ministers of Christ, especially in this area of working with teens and their families, we salute you and we appreciate you being
Amen.
On the program.
Amen. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you very much, Rich and Trace. It's been an honor being with you, and thank you for the work you guys do.
Thank you, Jim. And Trace, this has been an interesting program, an interesting opportunity mm-hmm. we've had. Obviously, we are able to share with our listeners what Shepherd's Hill Academy is about over the course of the many programs we do.
Sure.
But I think this is the first time that we have invited other similar programs, similar in some ways,
yeah.
to be on this program and show you that there is variety. There are literally hundreds, maybe even thousands of residential facilities that work with teens in crisis.
That's
not
right.
All of those being Christ-centered, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But of the three today, Shepherd's Hill and North Carolina Boys Academy and Shelterwood Academy, those three are not the same.
Right.
Our core focus and our mission may be the same,
sure.
but the methodology in one could be a little bit different. As far as I know, of these three, ours is the only one that's more immersive, involving the wilderness aspect
mm-hmm.
and totally unplugging
We're
kids.
Firm on principle, all three of us. Firm
right.
on principle, flexible on method. We happen to have a tremendous amount of success at Shepherd's Hill with our kids being totally unplugged and pulled out into the woods. This is the way we approach. This is the way we can boast about our success. And it's just not for everyone. And I want people to know that our goal here at License to Parent is to bring healing to our kids, healing to our nation. Our tagline is Insight for Today's Culture. It's not just about, you know, bringing kids to Shepherd's Hill. It's about empowering parents so that they can impart some wisdom, spiritual depth into their kids and have a successful life and enjoy the abundant life. That's what it's all about.
And Trace, you mentioned about the exorbitant cost
mm-hmm.
in dealing with troubled teens
sure.
in our nation. Now, you quoted a price of, I believe it was $91,000 per year in the state of Georgia.
Right.
That's not to go to a residential facility. That's how much the taxpayer pays if that young person ends up in a youth detention center.
Right. That's for warehousing your kid.
Right.
No discipleship, no education, no therapy, none of that. It's basically $91,000 to sequester your kid into a concrete cell to be a better delinquent. It's a tragedy that it should cost this kind of money, but the cost per program ranges as widely as an automobile or a house. You know, it depends on what you're getting for the dollars you're spending. But people don't realize just how much this is. And I think it's good that the listener knows that there's a wide variety of different places out there. The sun doesn't rise and set just at Shepherd's Hill.
Well, Trace, that's a nice transition into this opportunity that I'd like us to leave our listeners with today, and that is that the cost of residential care can be lessened with your help. We have established the Shepherd's Hill Scholarship Fund to help families directly.
Yeah, Rich, it really is a home missions endeavor. You know, we're sending people across the waters, and we've got a problem right here, which is why more missionaries are coming from other countries to America than we're actually sending out today. We've got a problem right here. We're in the forest and don't see the trees.
If there is any way that you could help us with the financial underpinnings of this ministry, we would be very grateful. First of all, pray about it. We would not want you to step outside of God's will, but if you feel that the Lord leads you to do so, would you possibly consider giving a monthly or a one-time gift to this organization, either as tax-free? You can make your tax-deductible contributions as easy as can be by going to our website, licensedtoparent.org. Again, licensedtoparent.org. Just click on the Donate tab, and it'll walk you through the whole process. We would be so grateful for any and all help that you can offer. It allows us to continue our ministry to teens and to their families. So thanks so much in advance. I'm Rich Rosl, along with Trace Embry. Thanks again for listening today. And please join us again next time to, once again, renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.